to me, gossip is exhausting. Every time that I see it on TV, that I see it on the news, it makes me sigh. It takes it out of me to hear it, and it's not that I don't do it, I'm not above it, we all do. But it's just one of those things that you feel bad after you do, or at least I do. I don't even like listening to it, and it makes me tired.
I've been on both ends, the giving and the receiving, and it feels terrible either way, one way or the other, because somebody always finds out, and everybody always ends up hurt, regardless.
Sometimes it's hard to nail it down, but I think kind of, again, after the fact, I realize that if I've been guilty of it, it's spreading things, it's repeating things that are essentially not edifying, not helpful for other people. They can harm somebody else. So it could be the truth, certainly a lie, lying about spreading rumors about somebody, but it could be a truth that's hurtful to them. So going around and spreading truths about somebody else that is hurtful, hurts their reputation, it can hurt their feelings, it can do a lot of things like that.
We are ready to rock and roll this morning with our new series. We're going to have a lot of fun as we spend the next 3 weeks talking about what we say and how we say it and who we say it to and the conversations that we have. Man, our words are powerful. If you are not familiar with that concept, if you're like, well, I just don't understand. I have never said anything that's hurting anyone. Okay, you're clueless. Let's just put it that way. Because the reality is our words are powerful and they're destructive and they're harmful. And that's just the reality. And so, you know, the Bible even talks about the fact that we need to be aware of this and we need to do our best to try to control it and contain it. As I think Sarah shared with you, I've been gone the last couple weeks, being able to do some work on the property that we have, trying to get some things under control there and trying to do that. And Dustin is back for the first time after being gone for 6 weeks, although he's not back in here yet. So we're thankful for him being able to be here. And you know, how many of you like receiving gifts? How many of you like receiving gifts? You're like, yeah, I kind of like that. I like gifts. Gifts are nice, right? Now, have you ever received a gift, and after you received the gift, you're like, oh, thanks. And you had to create this look on your face. You're like, wow, that's a gift. Right? You ever done that? You ever been there? Well, this morning, one of our ministry partners came up to me, and they're like, hey, man, I got something for you while you were gone. And I thought you would really like it. So here. And I just want to share with you what this person got me. And just let you know what it was. It's a t-shirt. I like t-shirts. I wear t-shirts all the time. But it's the content of the t-shirt that seems to really bother me. You know, see, I thought for years I've been really clear about my feelings about these animals and about how really they are, you know, they are just a little bit below geese, really. And the things that they leave. So if anyone's looking for a rag or something like that to clean, you just let me know, and we'll take care of that later. But Ben Werner, thanks so much, buddy. But we're starting this new series, you know, and our conversation is really something that we have to pay attention to. We are often so careless with our words. And what's amazing is that sometimes we think, well, you know, it's okay. It's just a conversation I'm having with my close friend. My youngest daughter, Georgia, she just is a senior this year, just started school this last week, and she is a swimmer. In fact, today she's swimming down at Franklin High School, for divisionals. So I have the privilege often of sitting in horribly uncomfortable seats in incredibly humid and hot places, surrounded by swim moms. Now, if you've met football dads, you're familiar with football dads, right? And baseball dads, and they're just like over the top and like, ugh! They are nothing compared to swim moms. Let me just tell you, And so there are some times when Tracy can't go, and then I end up going by myself. Like today, obviously, Tracy can go, and I can't. I've got, you know, some other things I got to do today. So, and this one time, I went, and Tracy didn't go, and it was at IUPUI Natatorium, a big, beautiful natatorium. It's actually somewhat air-conditioned. And so I usually, when I go by myself, because I'm not one of those people that if you sit next to me, like on an airplane, I'm going to know your life story by the time we land. I'm kind of like, hey, great, earplugs. You know, and that's just the way I am. I'm not being rude or anything like that. And so usually when I go by myself, I'll grab my iPad, make sure it's charged. I get my phone, make sure it's charged, and I get my earbuds because I'll put in earbuds, and then when it's George's turn to swim, I'll take them out. I'll record or watch, whatever. Well, this day, as I sat down and I got in my seat, I reached into my pocket only to realize that I had left my earbuds sitting on the kitchen counter as I left that morning at like 5:30 in the morning to get there on time. And I'm like, oh, man. Well, I'm like, that's okay, because I'm kind of, there's no one around me, so I'm probably going to be okay. And, of course, the minute that I say that, two ladies walk in. And for some reason, spandex and swim bombs seem to go hand in hand. I'm not sure why. But they both came in and they sat down literally right in front of me. And I'm going, okay, well, maybe they're not going to be talkative. No. So they begin to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that that many words existed in the English language. And then I began to pay a little bit closer attention because they started talking about their daughters and their daughter's coach and how awful he was, and how bad he was. And you know what? I think he made this, and we'll just call him Susie. Little Susie, you know, he said this to little Susie, and it made her feel like she was fat. And she's not anywhere near as fat as Candace's daughter. Did you see what Candace is wearing today? I mean, it was just going on and on and on and on and on, and just start tearing into the coach even more and more and more. And I'm going, oh, my word. And I'm sitting right behind him. I'm like, hello, there are people around you that can hear. And then I loved it because after about an hour into this conversation, I'm not kidding, of constantly everything that was coming out of their mouth was bashing one person or another mom or a coach or, you know, their husbands, whatever. It was just constant negative attacking. The one gal looks to her friend and goes, oh, hey, by the way, how's your church doing? And she goes, oh, it's going really great. How about your church? Oh, it's great. We're doing this. And then they start talking about all the problems and the things in their church, and I'm going, okay, this is, and I literally sent out a tweet at that point in time, sitting behind two moms at a swim meet who are bad-mouthing everyone that they can think of, you know, and I hashtagged it, someone's always listening, and I had several people go, that's a message series right there. You need to do that one. And so we have, for about the last year, kind of been thinking about how we would work on this, because we use our words and our conversations, and we don't think about it. And we don't realize that someone's always going to be around hearing us, whether it's the person you're directly talking to or someone sitting behind you at a swim meet that's hearing everything that you said. And by the way, end of the story, which is so funny. I go out, you know, after George's last swim, and I go out to the lobby area to wait for her, and these two moms come out together, you know, still talking, and they're standing there waiting for their daughters to come out. And this guy comes out, who I've never seen before, but he's got a lanyard on, which means he can be on deck, okay? He's the coach that they'd been bad-mouthing for the last 3.5 hours in front of me. And they're like, oh, Coach so-and-so, how are you? They swam so great today. I'm like, let me tell you what they just said about you, because that is not what they were saying when they were sitting in the stands. And it's just amazing the way that we do this, and we don't think about it. I want to share a couple verses with you just to kind of begin this whole series and to begin this morning. Proverbs 21:23 says, those who are careful about what they say keep themselves out of trouble. Think about all the times you opened your mouth and you entered into trouble. How many times you didn't pause a beat or take a deep breath before you spoke, and how much trouble it got you into. Sometimes it's like what we're talking about today with gossip and talking about others. Sometimes it's lying like we're going to talk about next week. Sometimes it falls into one of the other categories that we're going to be talking about during this series. But our mouths, our words can be so caustic and harmful that sometimes that actually harms us. And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said, listen, if you will learn to just shut up a little bit more, you will keep yourself out of more trouble. And we know that's true. Those of you that have kids, right? And you tell your kid to do something. And now, obviously, I mean, your children clearly obey you immediately the first time that you tell them. And they never talk back to you at any point in time. But I will just share with you my children when they were younger and sometimes even now. When we tell them to do something, will have a great reason as to why they don't need to do that. And have you ever gotten to the point where you look at your child and you go, listen, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to do what I've told you to do, or you're going to keep talking and you're going to get yourself in even more trouble. And so you as a parent, you know it. You're like, listen, just shut up. Just shut. Maybe you're the other parent who's having watching the conversation between your child and the other parent, and you're like, listen, I'm telling you, cut it out. It's getting bad. Cut your losses and run. And we know, right? Instinctively, just shut up. And the writer says, listen, just keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of a lot of trouble. But then also James 3:8. I think this is a powerful truth that we often just kind of read through and don't think about if we're reading the Bible. James 3:8 says, no human being can tame the tongue. Is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Notice, it doesn't say most people struggle. It doesn't say on average people can't. It says no human being, no person can tame their own tongue. This tells us that the only way that you can truly begin to tame the conversations that you have, the words that you say, is if there's divine intervention and you begin to apply biblical principles and allow the Holy Spirit to work through those to help you tame the tongue. And he says the reason is because it's full of deadly poison. It will poison you and it will poison those who listen to you. So that's what this series is all about. I want to help you be able to understand truths from the Word of God, to be able to apply them to your life so that the Holy Spirit can work through those truths to help you begin to tame your tongue so that you can stay out of some of the trouble that you keep getting yourself into because you say way too much. Okay? So here's the thing. As human beings, we are social beings, right? We like being in relationship with others. We like having conversations. We like to do those things. And Genesis 2:18 tells us that we were made this way, right? Genesis 2:18 says that God made us, and it was not good that man should be alone. We are social creatures by nature. We crave to be included and a part of the group. We never want to be left out. And so sin has done everything that it can to twist that natural desire that God gave us to be included, to be a part, to be involved in what's going on in the sphere of people around us. And sin takes it and tries to twist it and use it against us. It whispers in our ear, you'll never be included, you'll never be popular, you'll never be accepted unless you blank. Dress the right way, say the right thing, act the right way, sit at the right table. Be involved, go out with the guys, go out with the gals, you know, downgrade your husband, talk ugly about your wife, whatever the case may be, to be included in the part. And so sin whispers into our ear and says, listen, if you want to be included, you've got to do these things because I know you want to be included. Sin convinces us to do and say things to win the favor of those that we want to accept us, that we want to include us, and often that comes at the expense of someone else. Often we do this and we betray someone else. It usually leads to gossip or malicious conversations or slander. And what's interesting is that in genuine relationships, in real, heartfelt, honest relationships, the key element, the key foundation is trust. You think about the great relationships that you've had in your life, or maybe you've not had any great relationships, and you realize the reason you've not had great relationships is because you've never been able to build trust with someone else. But the key to any great relationship is trust. It's a two-way street. You trust them, they trust you. And that's how great relationships are built. And what's interesting is that this thing, this idea of gossip, it's absolutely ironic that sin, which would try to cause you to use these words to be able to weave your way in and get included, to be able to be accepted by other people, is literally a betrayal of trust. It undermines the trust that you have with the people around you. And so what we do is that in order to gain relationship with person B, right, or group B, we go over and we start talking to them. And they start talking about somebody that you know or that you know of that's in group A. And you join in. Oh, yeah, I was with them the other day, and you can't believe what they were wearing. I mean, let me tell you something. Spandex should not come in that size, and there should be age limits. Let me tell you something. You have no idea what an idiot he is because he did X, Y, Z. And you join in on this conversation with this group of people here. But while you're joining in on this conversation with the hopes of being included, you are undermining the trust that you have with this person or this group over here. And so what you're doing by gossiping to them about this group or this person over here is you're undermining the key element in this relationship, which is trust. And what's also interesting is because you're over here betraying the trust of that person over there, you're letting this group also know that you can't be trusted either. You see, when you gossip, when you talk about someone behind their back, you are not only betraying the person that you're talking about, but you're letting the person know that you're talking to that you can't be trusted either. So gossip is literally undermining the very fundamental element of relationship. And by doing so, you are robbing yourself of something that God desperately wants for you. And that's positive, healthy, encouraging, building relationships. You see, without trust, most of us will never share our inner selves. Now, I know that there's some people that's like, hey, my name's Dave. Hi, my name's so-and-so. And you're like, how are you? Let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Then I was a drug addict for a while, and then I got into alcohol, and then I did this, and then I started killing, and I murdered this person. But that's okay, because they never found out. And you're like, okay, I'm going to just go back up here a little bit, and hey, look over there. And you take off and run, because like, wow, most of us aren't like that. Most of us don't open up until we know we can trust the person that we're talking to, because we don't want to be betrayed. We don't want our trust to be taken and flaunted and used against us. But that's exactly what we do when we gossip. And so what happens is because we understand this, it makes us all self-conscious. And we're worried about what someone else is saying about us. You ever been talking to someone, maybe it's in a large group, right? And you're talking with them, and then you go over, you get a drink, you go to the bathroom, whatever, and you come back out, and that person that you were just talking to is having a close conversation with somebody else. And immediately your mind goes, what are they saying about me? What are they talking about me? Because see, this whole idea, because gossip is so pervasive, it makes us paranoid. It makes us wonder, what are they talking about? What are they saying? How are they downgrading me? And I don't know about you, but I kind of like tend to slip up behind them, like where they don't see me and go, okay, they're not talking about me. That's all right. Because we're paranoid about this. It devastates us when we realize that people are doing it. So here's the big idea. Gossip. Gossip destroys our ability to have genuine relationships. Gossip destroys our ability to have genuine relationships. Because we understand it. If you are with somebody that gossips, you know, I can't trust that person. Because they might gossip about me. Because I guarantee you, if they're gossiping about somebody else, they're gossiping about you to somebody else. And here's the sad truth. It's true about you too. If you gossip to someone else, then that someone else that you're gossiping to, you will gossip about. And so it undermines all genuine, honest, and open relationships, because you constantly have to walk through life guarded, reserved, and sometimes even paranoid. And that's the reason that God hates gossip so much. That's the reason he speaks so attackingly against us, because he created us to enjoy good, positive, uplifting relationships, and gossip makes that impossible. It undermines the very nature and the very element that is necessary for honest conversation, for honest and genuine relationship. It causes us to, on a regular basis, jump to the negative conclusion with those that we are in relationship with, and it makes us retreat within ourselves, build walls around ourselves. It stunts our growth, it erodes our hope, and it eliminates the vital element that God has created for relationships, and that's trust. So what I want to do is I just want to really quickly, because whenever you talk about gossip, people go, well, I don't gossip. Okay, yes, you do, because we all do it. And the problem is that we don't realize when we're doing it a lot of times. Well, I'm just sharing a prayer request. If it's not yours to share, shut it. Oh, well, you don't understand. They told me about it, so it's okay. Did you ask them if it was okay to share with somebody else? Well, I'm sure they won't have a problem with it. They probably do. And if you put it on Facebook, shame on you, you know? Here's the thing I always think. Before you post it, take a deep breath, think about it, ask yourself, is that going to be harmful to me or somebody else? Because more than likely, the answer is yes. You know, if you post things and memes about cats and things like that, it's going to be harmful to somebody else. So you should probably just avoid it altogether. But there are literally four types of gossip, and I think the best way to try to define it is just to talk about these four types really, really quickly so that you can truly understand when and how you're gossiping, because all of us tend to have a very limited definition of what gossip is. We think gossip's not true, okay? If you're spreading a lie about someone, it's gossip. No, it may be very well true, but it's still gossip. So here's what I'm going to do. Just share with you these four areas or four levels or four types of gossip, and you can begin to think about yourself, okay? Don't be looking at the person next to you. Don't elbow. Don't write on your paper or draw an arrow and be like, just focus on yourself. So here's the first one. Real quickly. I jumped past a verse, and everyone is, those are blank fillers or panicking. Romans 1, 29 and 32. God talks about this. This is really funny. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyways. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Four of the nine things that God called wickedness involve your conversation. Quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. Now here's what's interesting. The first couple, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder. God takes gossip and he puts it in the same category with murder. You're like, well, that's a little extreme. Well, it gets even more extreme, because then in verse 32 he says you deserve to die because you gossip. Now that is extreme. Do you think God takes that seriously? That's pretty intense, isn't it? Now look at this. Four areas, okay? Number one, drama gossip. Drama gossip. Now, I wrote down on my notes, I wrote down Debbie Drama, but then I thought to myself, I know guys that love drama, so we're going to call them Debbie and Danny Drama, because they love drama. Now, if you are not familiar with what drama is, you are probably a Debbie or a Danny drama, because you think it's normal. It's normal life. It's just the way that it is. If there's not drama, you look to create drama. Because listen, if everyone around you isn't panicking and freaking out, then there's a problem. Because you got to stir the pot a little bit. You got to get it going. You know, these people that walk into a room and go, hey, man, it's great to see you. Where you been? Oh, yeah, cool. You know, I was talking about you with somebody else the other day. See y'all later. Intentionally creating and stirring up problems. putting light to the fire of the gasoline that's going on in somebody's life, and you're creating this drama. I don't even think about that as gossip, but that's exactly what it is. In fact, look at this. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and gossip separates close friends. If you are a drama person, you're a pervert. Isn't that what it says? A perverse person stirs up dissension, stirs up controversy, stirs up conflict. God says, listen, I don't want you to live from drama to drama to drama. Who wants to live like that? But yet, for some reason, we do it. Folks, if you do that, that's gossip. That's one of the things that God says, this is not okay. Don't do it. Don't go out looking for it. Don't try to cause it. Don't try to stir it up. Drama gossip. The second one, secrets gossip. Secrets gossip. Somebody tells you a secret. Man, I'm. Don't tell anybody, but we're pregnant. And you're like, oh, that's so exciting. Who can I tell? Who can I tell? Who can I tell? Because it just burns inside of you. You've got to let it out. It's like, man, I got this. And you are a secrets gossip. If somebody tells you something, man, it's just like you everyone else is going to know it. And you're going to be like, listen, I don't want to tell you that somebody's pregnant, but somebody's pregnant. And you're thinking, you're like being all excited, and you're so this and that. God says, that's not okay. That's not something that he honors. Look at this, Proverbs 11:13. It says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. You see, part of the reason that they do that is that they know something that no one else knows. And so when they tell something, someone something that they don't know, it makes them feel important. And so if you are a secrets gossip, it's because of your feeling of lack of importance. And so you love having that information so that you can be the source to everyone comes to for the lowdown on what's going on. And you're the secrets gossip. And God calls it gossip. And God says, that's worthy of death. It's a sin that hurts people. Drama gossip, secrets gossip, juicy gossip. Juicy, just the word juicy. You know what we're talking about. It's like, oh, when you go to the grocery store and you are standing in line and you get the checkout gal who's 184 years old, who has a conversation about all of her grandkids, who literally has a laminated sheet with all the pictures of her grandkids, 18 of them, and talking to the person who you got behind the line in, and you're standing there and you're looking at everything that you can possibly look at. Just underneath the juicy fruit are all the tabloid magazines, right? The TMZ and the Star and the National Enquirer, and splattered across the front is all the juicy gossip. So-and-so was seen coming out of this bar, and so-and-so came out 5 minutes later. Were they together? So-and-so was married, but hey, I think that they're flirting around. They're going on concert together, and who knows what's happening in their trailers. It's that juicy gossip, that salacious information that you just like, oh, this is so exciting. And it's that juicy gossip that we love to spread about other people, and it's usually relational. Did you know so-and-so was fighting? And I think they said this, and they said that, and then this thing happened. They're not even talking to us. I think they removed each other on Facebook as friends. It's juicy gossip. Proverbs 17:4 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen. Oh, excuse me, I jumped. Proverbs 26:22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. What a beautiful picture of juicy gossip. It's like, little teeny tiny bite of wonderfulness. And what's amazing is that after the fact, we're like, drama gossip, secrets gossip, juicy gossip, false gossip. And see, this is the one we usually think of when we think of gossip. But it's only one of four. False gossip. It's when you intentionally spread untruths or attack the character of someone else. Proverbs 17:4 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip, and liars pay close attention to slander. So how do we deal with these things? How do we deal with them in ourselves? How do we deal with them with others? I want to just share with you two things, two steps to conquer gossip. And they can be attached either to those around you or to yourself. In fact, I would challenge you to attach them first to yourself. The first one is this: identify and avoid. Identify and avoid. First, you got to come up to the realization that you do it. You got to own up to the reality that you gossip. Whether it's drama or secrets, whether it's juicy or false, you do it. Own up to it. Identify it in your own life. Then you need to avoid it in your own life. But now let's turn the switch. Let's flip the page and go, how do we deal with it in others? Identify it. Sometimes when people come up and talk to you and they're having a conversation, you don't even recognize that it's gossip until it's all over with. And you're like, what just happened? Why do I feel like I need to take a shower? You need to start identifying it earlier. And let me challenge you. The Bible says that when someone comes up and begins to do this, your reaction should be to cut it off. Go, I don't need to hear that. That's none of my business. I think you should probably go talk to them about that. To cut it off. And then, if a person in your life is constantly doing it, avoid them like the plague. Avoid them. You go, what do you mean avoid them? But they're such a nice person. No, you like the fact that when you're around them, you hear all the dirt. And the more you listen to gossip, the more you will become a gossip. Look at this. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence. So, what's that word? What's the word? It's not tricky. What's the word? Avoid. So avoid anyone who talks too much. That would be a challenge to those of you, too, that talk a million miles a minute. And I don't mean it in an ugly way. Sometimes our mouth can move way faster than our brain can process. You ever said something and realized about half a millisecond after you've said it? Oh, I would love that back. It's too late. Slow down. Restrict your conversation. Identify and avoid. The second part. Again, yourself and then others. Restrict and quit. Restrict and quit. Once you recognize it in your own life, man, restrict it down. Really zone it down and be like, listen, I cannot do this. I have to squelch the drama. I have to keep the secret. I have to say truth and not lies. I want to make sure that I'm the type of person that does the right thing. I don't want to share the juicy, malicious, slanderous, salacious things. Whether they're true or not, they're not mine to share. And so I'm going to restrict it intentionally in myself. And then quitting altogether. You go, man, I just need to quit doing this. This is not healthy for me. It's not healthy for others. Because remember, gossip keeps you from enjoying genuine relationships because it erodes the trust in those that you're gossiping to and those that you're gossiping about. And trust is the cornerstone of any healthy, genuine, uplifting, positive relationship that God created you for to enjoy. And so quit it. In others, you need to restrict it by not joining in. It's really easy to join in. Let's be honest, okay? If somebody starts talking about something, it's really easy to lean in to the conversation. But God says what we need to do is we need to lean out and step out of the conversation, even to the point where we may need to break that friendship altogether because it's just not healthy. Look at this, Proverbs 26:20. Fire goes out without wood. Duh. And then he makes the comparison, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. The vast majority of relational conflicts that take place are because of lack of trust. gossip is the key ingredient which erodes trust. Therefore, A plus B equals C. If you stop gossiping, trust will begin to be rebuilt, and you will start enjoying healthy, positive relationships yet again. You see, that's what God created you for. That's what God designed you to enjoy. Some of the reasons, husbands, wives, that you quarrel and have arguments is a direct result of gossip. Whether you're talking about them to someone else, or you're receiving information which causes tension in your home because now you know a piece of information you weren't supposed to know in the first place. And it causes that tension. The reason that great friendships that have been friendships for years or decades even tend to be broken is because of gossip. Because trust erodes the foundation of genuine relationships. And it causes you to withdraw, feel insecure, and paranoid about those around you. Gossip is destructive. Gossip will destroy you and everyone it touches. So my challenge to you is to commit to building trust in your relationships. How do you build trust? Well, it begins by eliminating gossip. It begins by avoiding. It begins by quitting. It begins by restricting. It begins by maybe just walking away so that some of those things can heal and begin to grow in your life. Which area of gossip do you struggle with? Which area do you need to ask for God's help in so that you can begin to restore the right relationships that God intended for you at the beginning of time? Father God, we thank you so much. We are absolutely humbled, God, that you would create us with such purpose and design us with such intentionality to enjoy the types of relationships that are needed. And God, I pray that we would recognize the reality of what your word teaches us and how gossip and talking about others to others erodes trust in both directions. And God, that trust is so essential in enjoying the types of relationships that we have. And God, I pray that you would, through your Holy Spirit, convict us this very moment of the type of gossip that we do most. God, maybe for some of us this morning, it's across the board. It's all four areas of gossip. And God, you just need to come in with a spiritual 2x4 and hit us on the back of the head and help us realize that this is something that's destroying us and every relationship that we touch. God, help us recognize that trust is so important and we're eroding it because we won't just shut our mouths. God, help us to do that. God, help us to, instead of worrying about who does what or who's involved with what or who's wearing what or going wherever, God, help us focus on building the trust. Help us focus on finding people that we can put trust in so that, God, we can enjoy those open relationships. We can have a conversation. We go, man, I'm struggling with this today. And we know it's going no further than that person. All they're going to do is pray for us. With their arm around us. God, we want that. We need that. We crave that. And God, instead of us looking around at others and going, man, I wish they would do that for me, God, let us be that person who starts to build the trust with those around us. So that when people look at us, they go, there is a man. There is a woman who is trustworthy. And I want to be their friend. Father, we thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name.